Good morning. We're continuing Chayot on Mechilchos Shabbos. We learned Klal Gimel, and we did Siman Yud Beis. So in Siman Yud Gimel and Siman Yud Dalet and Siman Tetzvav, he points out this idea that depending on what the standard meaning is, we might be able to address the Maris Ayin concern. We mentioned that besides the actual din concern, there is always a Maris Ayin issue as well. So he discusses the different scenarios where there will be practical applications of Maris Ayin. In Siman Tezayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, and Yud Tes, so he discusses some practical examples of this, of different types of manufacturing, which people had, and they wanted to have their business running. So a person has the right to collect taxes, etc. So we're not going to do that. So let's go to Siman Chav. Siman Chav, it really is a continuation of this idea that we're saying, and this is the eighth and final condition that the Chayyadim puts in the scenario we're going to find a heter for Amir Lahakum. Again, the primary issue has to be kablonus, that he's not working directly for the Jew, and it has to be that the person is paid. So we mentioned already now in Siman Yud Beis, the seventh point is that there can't be a financial benefit accruing to the Jew from the work, directly accruing to the Jew from the work that the non-Jew is doing. So now he's going to discuss the same idea, not a economic benefit, but not necessarily a financial benefit. The case where by working on Shabbos, the non-Jew will be freed up for work for the Jew during the week. So in Siman Chav, pon Ches. Shalyia Nochri Muskir Lo Lashana Lasas Komalachtoi. If you have a scenario where the non-Jew is hired, so he is hired for the Jew, even though he's a kablan, and it's Bixitza, his job description is handyman, available for all work which is necessary. So a person would be owns an apartment building, and he has a handyman, a supervisor. The super, as they call them, who's going to be working in the various different apartments, fixing things, etc. Or alternatively, we mentioned this case that the Rambam brought down. The person is hired as a scribe, and he's in those days they didn't have publishing the way you had the copy of a book. Is the person would a scribe would copy it from a different scroll, he would write a scroll for you. So you have this person hired, that's like that his job is to sit there constantly and write. So he's hired for a specific work to write, he's paid, and he's bekabel, the cry is to copy X amount of texts. So that is a kablam. But over here, if he writes on Shabbos, he's available for new work during the week. See, if he's hired to, let's correct what I just said. If he's hired to cover a certain amount of text and then he's done, so it's not a problem. He can get it done at any time frame he wants, and it's his decision to do it on Shabbos. If he's hired to be available to write whenever you need writing done, and if he doesn't work on Shabbos, he'll have a backlog of things he has to write for you. But by working on Shabbos, he will be available to write for you on Sunday, on Yom Rishon. So the Jew is benefiting from the work of the non-Jew by thereby clearing his work docket and being available to work. So that's an economic benefit that the Jew is getting from the work of the non-Jew. If he doesn't work on Shabbos, so he'll have to do work during the week, which will prevent him from being available for work that you want him to do. So by working on Shabbos, he's creating availability during the week, which is valuable to the Jew. So that's also. So these two scenarios which we just gave, everybody agrees that they're going to be usher. There's going to be a scenario which is Machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid, which he will mention in the as he continues this siman. Be'ez Hashem, we will cover that in the next year. Meanwhile, have a good day.